with street kids, garbage pickers, beggars, children of lepers. And about 3 to 4 times a year, we put out a program that these children perform in, giving the gospel to the uneducated street people. Because they'd never come to church unless it's their own kid that's performing. Our church doesn't meet in a sanctuary per se, but we do meet on the first floor of our children's home where the windows are closed, the curtains are drawn. It's a residential area. These children love the Lord. They're on fire for Jesus. They know that He's coming soon. This is Shivraj. He's the son of a Muslim leper who has no hands and no feet and no fingers. And every letter he writes to us every Sunday, he says, "Auntie, pray for my daddy to get his fingers and his toes." We have orphan children, and 52 of them we take care of, 29 of them round the clock, 17 of them are from the leper colony in Gulbarga, which is about 14 hours away by train from us. We've adopted this colony, the Gandhinagar leper colony, just to educate the kids. And it's through the kids that the gospel is being given to the parents when they come to drop them or when they come back to pick them up once a year and then when we go to them. These children are on fire for Jesus. As I say, when the school closed in India for 2 months, these children wanted to pray because they said, "Auntie, we are going back to our parents. No one knows Jesus in our colony. So let us have prayer meetings every day from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 in the evening. These children, 4 at a time, go into our little clinic, which is their prayer room now. And they just, the oldest might be just an 8th grader, the youngest a pre-nursery kid, just loving on the Lord, telling Him, "Jesus, give us our daddy and mommy so that they'll be in heaven with us." Uncles, aunts, grandparents, a little child will lead them. Amen? God is faithful. The Bible says, unless we become like little children, we will not enter the kingdom of God. So, moms and dads, invest in your little children and grandchildren. Don't give up on them, because you'll be amazed how they go to the neighbor and give the gospel, how they go to their friend on the school playfield, and how they bring them to the Lord. I've known of little kids in America witnessing in that playpen. This is Rahim in the leper colony. His mom and dad, grandparents are lepers. They are twins out there in the parents' arms. His dad used to drink, and one day Rahim testified saying, "My dad stopped drinking since I came to this school and church and started praying for him." This is Shilpa. Her parents, both of them, have no fingers, no toes. She's in the 6th grade. Now what you're going to see is the Gateway Community College that God has led us to build. It took us 6 years to build it. It's built debt-free. He is faithful. When He gives you a vision, He is the provision. He is able and more than able. That's the back of the buildings that you're seeing. We did have a lot of opposition, but God saw us through it all. We've not paid a penny in bribes in India for any of these buildings to come up. That's the dining hall, part of the kitchen. The students will learn cooking, gardening, computers, home care, nursing, teachers training. This is the men's dorm. This is the computer room. People think Gateway International stands for Gateway Computers. The best part is we do not have a single computer as of yet in our computer room. We need 22 of those. So keep praying with us, because I'm not here today to ask for funds, but I'm here to tell you that let's take this gospel to the ends of the earth. This is our auditorium, the stairwell. We have the ground, first and second floor. That's the administrative block with the library, the computer room, and the classrooms on the left. And on the right is 2 floors of men's dorms, 6 rooms for men's dormitories, 3 for the ladies. The first batch will be all ladies. We are starting on the 11th of June. This is a multi-purpose area. The construction is finished as of now. These pictures were taken 6 months ago. That's the courtyard with gravel on the floor. I'd like you to just close your eyes. Become aware that we are in the presence of God, a mighty God who loves us, a God who cares, a God who has envisioned things before the foundations of the world. Before he knit us together in our mother's womb, he had a plan and a divine purpose for our lives. If we can just realize that we are nothing but clay in the potter's hand, he is going to do something marvelous with each of our lives. It's never too late to just surrender to this great and mighty God and say, God, I will live to praise you all the days of my life. I live to give you thanks. I live to worship you. God dwells in the praises of his people. Can you just open your heart and just praise him for something? Praise him for something. Praise him for what he has done for us. Praise him for that he woke us up with the right mind this morning, that he brought us into his house so that we could join other worshipers, so that we could worship him in spirit and in truth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, for your hand of blessing upon each of us. We ask that we would be ever so sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, that we would give you glory, that we would just move as the Spirit leads us. We ask this in Jesus' name. This morning's message is titled, Walk in the Spirit. There's no better way to walk on this earth than to walk as Jesus walked, to talk as Jesus talked. He said, I seek to do the Father's will. There's no better plan for any of us. Once upon a time, I was an athlete training for the Olympics. I was a high jumper. At the age of 15, I came first in all India in high jumps. India has over 1 billion people. And how did I start? I started off by jumping over the desks in class when no one was looking. I jumped over someone else's walls in order to help my brothers and their friends to pick up the mangoes that they had stoned. And then when the neighbors would leave their dogs on me, I would jump back over the gate. It was just like, I felt like I was like a bird just flying over things. You know, God can use anything. My brothers and sisters, when I was younger, I was the sixth of nine children, and my older brothers and sisters would say, Mom, you're going out tonight. You better take that brat with you. We can babysit anyone but her. How many of you have brats at home? Praise God for that brat. Amen. God's going to do something beautiful with that little kid of yours. When I was very tiny, I remember my dad taking me to a wedding reception on the sixth floor of a large building. And while the bridal couple were walking in and everyone was throwing confetti on them, he turned round, his heart was in his mouth, he couldn't find me anywhere. There I was, leaning over the window of the sixth floor of that building and waving out to those little people that looked like flies to me, like little butterflies, just waving out, holding on to one little hook. All he got was my toes in his hands. I gave my dad many a fright. My mom never came to see me run or jump at the athletic fields. But one day I remember saying to her, I said, Mom, you know what? You've never seen me perform out there. But today you just sit here on your bed and you can watch me. I'm on the 6 o'clock program on television. And I remember her calling me ever so gently, putting her arm around me and saying, Child, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Give God the glory. I thank God for godly parents. In the night when I used to sleep and when I'd wake up to go to the restroom or to drink water, I'd find my dad beside my bed, kneeling down, crying in the spirit. Why was he beside my bed? Because I was a black sheep of the family. But look what God has done. Dads and moms, don't give up praying for your wayward child. Amen? He is faithful. He has a plan and a purpose. You just hang in there with Jesus. He lives forever to intercede for us. The prayer that is in your heart this morning for that child who we would long to have in church beside you this morning, don't worry, they're on their way. Just give him thanks. Give him praise. He has answered every prayer. You receive it by faith this morning. I know your heart's breaking. You're in church without your child. But God is able and more than able to bring that child back to you. Years later, I gave up sports when at the age of 19, I was born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. The same night, 6th of June, 1977, I went into the convent a month later. I worked at Loreto Convent as an educationist. Mother Teresa was a Loreto nun for the first 15 years, first 20 years of her life, and then she started the Missionaries of Charity. And I said, Lord, I'd love to just leave Loreto because it's only for the elite. These people have chauffeurs to drive them to school. They have bearers to wait by their sides for a hot meal. Why should I be serving the elite? Can I just live for lepers and work for them? I don't mind becoming a leper. That same day, Mother Teresa happened to be visiting our convent. She was going towards a leper colony. The train halted in the area in Asansol of West Bengal. And she came thinking that she was going to visit one of her old friends that she had traveled with from Yugoslavia. And as she prayed for Sister Magda, who was at death's door, her friend, she turned around and she said, there's one more young nun whom I have not yet met. Where is she? When she said it the third time, my superior Mary Ross came running to my room and she said, guess what? Mother Teresa's here to meet with you. And before I could even leave my room, Mother Teresa was at my door. She's a very short nun. She looked straight into my eyes, took my hand in her hand, rubbing the top of my palm. She said, my child, the time has not yet come for you to leave the convent. When the time comes, God himself will reveal his plans to you. For right now, you stay where you are. God has a plan and a purpose. And I was saying, Lord, I'm just a little puny mite. I'm nothing. And you're sending the very founders of the organization to tell me you do not want me to work with the lepers yet. I thank God that every dream that you have dreamt, that he put in your heart, he will bring it to pass. Just a week before I left India for this trip, I was in a leper colony. Not the one that our children come from in Gulbarga, but another one in Tamil Nadu. It's about 90 kilometers away from our home. And I know that this is an unreached place. I don't even know the name of the leper colony because I didn't look on the sign. But I just felt led of the Spirit that Jesus is coming back soon. And I've got to tell anyone and everyone who will hear. Who will hear is these lepers are so desperate. There are 62 women, 65 women, 32 kids, and about 70 plus men in a 27-acre property. And I remember that afternoon in that sweltering sun going out with a team. And this man, old as he has no, from his wrist down, he has no hands. He has no fingers. He has a vessel with a handle on one side and he has another vessel on the other. And one is rice and one is the sambar, the sauce that they put on the gravy, that they put on the steamed rice. In the main kitchen, they're cooking all the food. And this man is walking along the path, hobbling away. Go to see, he has no feet. He has just got little stumps and little leather piece at the end of each stump of his. And he's in tears and he's telling me in Tamil, and my interpreter interprets for me. He's trying to lift his hands towards his glasses, eyeglasses. And I'm so scared that he'll pour all the rice and sambar all over him. So I said, brother, wait, we'll listen to you. Just give us that thing. He says, these things that I have, they're useless. I can't see through them. And he's crying. And he's an old man. You know what the Holy Spirit is saying? Do whatever it takes to relieve someone. Amen? That's the gospel. That's the good news. It's just go led of the Spirit. Go to someone like you put up that ramp for that young lady. That's the gospel. Gospel in action is what we've got to do these days. Do whatever he tells us. It's not just go to the corners of the streets and raise our Bible up. No, my friend, the Bible is what is inside, what we've hidden in our hearts, doing whatever he's telling us to do. I go a little further. There's a Muslim gentleman sitting in the dormitory on his bed, very clean, with a skull cap on his head. And he's crying. His name is Abdul. And Abdul says, child, when am I going to walk? And I said, we'll help you to walk. Come. He says, no, I don't have slippers. I don't have shoes. Can you get me shoes? And I said, I promise you, I'll get you shoes the next time I come. Go to see, he has no feet. What are you going to put those shoes into? And I said, Abdul, I promise you, the next time I'll bring a cobbler and I'll come and we'll take your measurements and we'll make sure. He says, everywhere I've got to drag myself. My friend, Jesus cries in a thousand faces. He said, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, then to the ends of the earth. Right here in your neck of the woods, today, Mother's Day, can you look for someone, some mother, some old lady, some single woman that you can just go out and bless? When you bless, the blessing comes back. When you curse, the curse comes back. Don't look to the people and say, oh, that drug addict, that person will never come to the Lord. I remember when I was a student in Bible College in Peterborough, Ontario, I said to Jesus, Jesus, you're taking me to America? I was going to minister at Ron Stevens Church in San Bernardino. And I said, Lord, for 3 months I'm going to America. None of the Bible college students are allowed to go out of the country. But you're opening doors for me to go because they've invited me. God, for every day that I go, I want a soul. Give me souls. This was 1992. And I remember one day a young pastor came to me and he said, Sister Teresa, we're giving out food at the food bank, but we need you to come and minister. We know you're very busy. You've ministered in all these churches, but will you come? I said, I'll be there. What time? Now, I'm not a morning person. I'm a night owl. 6:30 he wanted me there. I said, make sure you'll wake me up. So, of course, they came. I was wide awake. I got in there, and in their chapel, there were all these street bums and shelterless people. And they were giving cartloads of food after the morning prayer. And when I ministered the word, 32 of them came in California to give their lives to Jesus. My friend, God is looking for a vessel that he can fill and use in these end times. Will you be that vessel? Will you be that person who says, here I am, Lord. If you can use anything, just use me. Amen. Just being led of the Spirit. See, God doesn't look at the garb. He doesn't look at what we are wearing. He doesn't look at what we have. He says, come to me, you who are weak and overburdened, and I will refresh you. Every time he brings those souls into the kingdom, it's such a refreshing. Even as a Roman Catholic nun, I was born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember one day my superior came to me and she said, Teresa, she said, we just got news that your mom's very ill. She's paralyzed. She's had a stroke. And she's been able to write on a tablet that if my daughter, who's a nun, comes and anoints me with oil and prays for me, I will be healed. So will you go, Teresa? My name was Helen in the convent, by the way, because there was another nun with the same name and the same last name. Who cares for a name? Amen. Give me a number. Because there's a new name written in heaven, and it's mine. And so I decided to go. I flew into Bombay from Calcutta. And as I walked in, my mom was in my brother's holiday house. She was lying down on the bed. I had never, ever in my born days anointed anyone with oil. I just went into the kitchen. We used to cook with coconut oil. I took the coconut oil. I took it to my mom, anointed her with oil, and just prayed the little prayer of faith. What's in your heart? He says, I will give you the desires of your heart. My mom got up and she was cooking with coconut oil for the rest of the family. No more paralysis. Amen. Let's give God a clap offering. He is able and more than able. Jesus wants you to set the captive free. Why? Because he's coming back soon. My friend, I tell people these days, don't worry about reading Matthew 24 that in the last days these will be the signs. We are gone beyond that. We've seen the signs. Last month, you didn't even have the television news. 28 nations were given the tsunami warning. America didn't even hear about it. We are living in the tail end of the end times. How many of us have moved in the Spirit and brought in the lost? He didn't say, go make converts. He said, make disciples. Make disciples. Tell someone. Just rub shoulders with them. Bring your neighbors. You may not be the one to preach, but bring them to the house of God. Someone else will minister to them. Amen. You got to just go and bring them, like little Andrew bringing the boy with the 5 loaves. You never know what that person is going to do next. I remember in Kansas City, Sheffield Family Life Center, when I was preaching there some couple of years ago, revival broke out and went on for 5 weeks. Night after night, people were bringing people. The services would go on from 7 o'clock in the evening till 5 in the morning. No one wanted to leave the sanctuary. People were going to work right from church back again to the house of God in the evening. And one night, I decided that let's testify, let's tell God, give glory to God. And I said, if there's anyone here who wants to tell us what God has done for you, just a few moments of testimonies. And one little 13-year-old Afro-American girl came up, very shy, and she said, you know what? It was praying at the poll today in America. And I didn't realize, I went to school an hour early, to the public school. And when I went, the school was closed, so I went and I just stood at the pole with my bag and I closed my eyes and God gave me such a burden for my friends. She says, I'm a very shy person. I don't have many friends. And I started praying for the principal, for the teachers and the headmistress. And she said, when I opened my eyes, I was shocked. The whole school was there. No one had gone in. I closed my eyes fast and then I said, Jesus, I don't know what to do. And Jesus told her, just go up to the flagpole and stand there, child. And she obeyed. And then she started from her belly, like wellsprings of living water. It started flowing. Repentance broke through in that crowd. Students were leaving their school bags, running to the pole, breaking their hearts open to Jesus. There was no one with anointing oil laying hands on anyone. It was the power of God. Amen. The power of God fell in that public school in Kansas City. That the next day onwards, a Bible study started in that school. You cannot stop the hand of the government from doing what the governments of the Lord want to do on this earth. Amen. If you and I move in the Spirit, you know, God's not looking for people who will go out with big loudspeakers and things like that. He's looking for a yielded vessel. To the extent that you and I are open today, God can breathe through us and fill us and use us. I remember sending one little girl with one of our staff to a hospital in Bangalore, a government hospital. And I said, just go and visit this lady who didn't come to church. She had two of her toes cut out because of diabetes. And when they went to the lady's ward, it's a Hindu hospital, and they were praying for this lady. The neighbors next to her said, come and pray for us. They're all Hindus. And this little fifth grader, Geeta Venkatesh, started anointing them with a hand, just placing a hand on them and crying in tears. The whole ward got emptied of all the women that were there. Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. He says, unless we become like little children. Why? Because revelation knowledge is hidden from the learned and the wise. It's revealed to mere children. And what he's looking for is not an IQ, not wealth, not fame. You saw those buildings. When we left America to go the same week we were married, we went to India. We didn't bother whether someone was there to sponsor us or not. It's not about sponsors, my friend. It's about Jesus. He who calls you is faithful. You see those buildings? Everything is built there. He put it together. It's like while we were sleeping, the shepherd of Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's mindful of us. He started giving us strategies. He started giving us the best bargains. And we have granite floors. Now, you cannot afford it here, but we can afford it there. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. But what is he looking for today? He's looking for a person who says, here I am. Fill me and use me. Lord, take me. Let me be as clay in the potter's hand. A Persian poet by the name of Saadi talks about this lump of clay. And he's looking at the clay and he says, oh, lump of clay, how come you smell so sweet? And the lump of clay speaks and it says, I smell so fragrant and so sweet because all summer I've hung out with a rose. Whom are you hanging out with, my friend? Hang out with this Jesus. He'll tell you the secrets of his heart. He'll tell you what is yet to come. He'll tell you what's going on around you. He'll tell you when that employee walks in and is hurting. And you'll be able to breathe upon them the breath of life that is within you. Unless you have it, you cannot give it to someone else. Unless you've hung out with the Master, you cannot radiate someone else's life. Unless you know, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He says, come and sit with me. Sit at my footstool with the disciples here so that in the marketplace you'll have a disciple's tongue. Amen. God wants to breathe upon you so that that breath of life can go to others through you. The Spirit of God wants to invade your territory this morning. If you give him a chance, if you just open up and say, here I am, Holy Spirit. You know, in the desert, in Nehemiah 9 and verse 20, it says that the Israelites were instructed by the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is a real person. This Holy Spirit has emotions, will, and an intellect. He comes to just dwell in a carcass like you and me. The lesser we are in our own eyes, the humbler we are in our own eyes, the greater will be the power of God. I remember as a Roman Catholic nun with a veil on my head going through the fields one day through the Christian Brothers school area, going to the local hospital. Until the time I would reach the local hospital steps, the attack of the enemy was real. I would feel my stomach rumbling. I would be puking all over those grounds as I was walking. And the devil was real. But I'm telling you that greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. And the devil would say, oh, you're fake. He would say, you know, even Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. And look at you, you're all alone. You're going by yourself. And I would say, get behind me, Satan. I'm not alone. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. We are two of us. You cannot come against us in Jesus' name. And I would be praying in the Spirit and going to that hospital. The moment I would darken the doorsteps of the hospital, the attack would leave me. There would be doctors coming to me. I know nothing about medical science. And the doctors would say, sister, can you tell us about this case? and the word of God would just flow. The anointing would just flow. In 1 John 2:20, it says, you have an anointing that abides. In verse 27, it tells us that anointing will teach you. When you are smaller in your own eyes, when you're yielded to the Holy Spirit, there's no knowing what you're going to do next. I remember one time there was a Muslim lady and the doctors told me, sister, her body stinks, she's rotting, she's going to die any moment. You don't have to go there and visit her today. And I just led of the Spirit. I went, she had a mosquito net on her cot. She couldn't have a stitch on her because she was stinking and her skin was all burned. She had 5 children, I think, this Muslim lady, and she had committed suicide by pouring kerosene on herself. And she didn't die as yet. So I knelt down on the floor and I put my hand under the net and I just held on to her side. And I said, sister, you know, when you were in the convent, see, the Lord gives you the words in 2 Samuel 23 and verse 2. I said, you went to a convent school as a little girl and you heard about Jesus and how he gave his life for you. And it's same Jesus. He loves you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He doesn't want to punish you even further. He wants you to be in heaven. But you got to give your life to him just as you are. You cannot do anything for yourself, for your children or anyone, not even for your parents who are crying out there. But you can make Jesus happy and you can be happy for eternity. If you can hear what I'm telling you, and if you want to surrender to Jesus, which I long for you to surrender, can you just give me a sign? Now, all of her was burnt. I said, can you give me a sign as I'm praying for you that you love Jesus in your heart and you want him to come into your heart just as you are? And with so much difficulty, with everything burnt, she stretched out 2 of her limbs and she just made the sign of the cross with 2 of her fingers. And tears ran out of her eyes. My friend, this Jesus is real. You don't have to be in that condition for him to come into your heart. He stands at the door of your heart today. And he knocks. And he says, if you let me in just as you are, I'll help you. John Lennon in 1972 wrote to an American evangelist and he says, can I get out of hell? Because they're lying on those beds in Tokyo in the big hotels. He used to see these TV evangelists preaching. But he was born to Yoko Ono, a witch. She was into the black arts, paganism. And he was so riddled with drugs and the spirits. He was telling his friend, he says, I lie down on that bed for hours and days sometimes and I cannot bear to have no lights in the room. I'm so nervous, so scared because I see my body like a temple and I see these spirits going in and out and some go and they bring back some more. He didn't realize that he was talking about the Bible and demon possession that it talks about. When one spirit leaves, it comes back with 7 worse than itself. And he says, can he forgive me? The American evangelist wrote to him and he says, come to Jesus just as you are, John. He loves you. He wants to take your burden and he wants to give you his yoke, which is light. But Yoko Ono would not allow John Lennon to come to Jesus. One day when Norwegian missionaries were ministering to him, she just started cursing the divinity of Christ. And John Lennon had a choice. He didn't make a choice for Jesus. He had every opportunity. People ministered to him. He didn't receive Jesus in his heart. No point wanting Jesus and not bringing him in. He's right here to come into our hearts and to set us free. Him whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But John never gave his life to Jesus. In 1979, he was with his sons in Florida. And it was Passion Week. It was Easter time. And he was listening to Jesus of Nazareth on television. And he said to his friend, Frederick Seaman, he said, come on, fast forward to that scene of the crucifixion. And he was mocking Jesus being crucified. And he stood up and he said, I'm a born again pagan. Where's John Lennon? The very following year, he who had said that Jesus will have been forgotten, but the Beatles will be remembered for eternity. He's in hell today. How do we know that he's in hell? Because anyone who does not make their peace, no matter how many good works we do on this earth, no matter how much we give to missions, it's useless. Unless Jesus comes into our hearts and sets us free, there's no heaven for us. Heaven is real and hell is real. I was reading about 7 Colombian youth who were taken by Jesus and shown hell and heaven. And one, they all recognized this person in hell, the soul. And they said, Jesus, what happened? How did he get there? And Jesus said, that's John Lennon. He never made his peace with God. Flesh was falling off his cheeks. Where are we going to end? Have we done what he has called us to do? Not everyone who cries, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. The dash symbol, John Lennon's life ended in 1980, just 40 years on this earth. 4 shots from Mark David Chapman's revolver ended his life, brought the Beatles to an end. How are we going to end? There's no end for us. Jesus said, eternity is now. From this moment on, forever and ever in the presence of the Lord. Let's close our eyes. Can I truly say that my name is written in the Lamb's book of eternal life? Can I truly say that I have done the Father's will on this earth? He is knocking on the door of my heart. His coming is so close. Am I ready? Have I done the Father's will? Have I done what He's placed me here to do? Any moment, it could be a breath away. Not many people last. They think tomorrow. But tomorrow may never come. This is the day of salvation now. He's calling us, young and old. He says, come to me. I want to set you free. I want to help you. The very things that you cannot help yourself with, the things that are taking you away from me, the things that are making you nasty and mean, I want to set you free from those things. Can you come just as you are? Can you trust me to set you free? There's a true story told, and I'm going to end with this, of a young girl on a Sunday morning who was driving in her car to church. She was a pastor's daughter. And she saw a stranger on the highway in America. I think it was California. And she said to herself, I didn't see any car broken down there, but that man looked very decent. Maybe he was on his way to church, and I should have given him a ride. She said, anyway, I'm going to take the exit, and I'll come back on the highway. If he's still there, I'll give him a ride. And he was still there waiting for a ride. She took him into a car, and she was still driving. When the gentleman turned around and he says, child, do you know Jesus? She said, yes, I'm going to church. I know Jesus. And he turned around and he said, Gabriel has a trumpet to his lips. And she was ready to argue with him from Matthew 24 and verse 36. No one knows the day nor the hour nor the time. And when she turned around, there was no stranger in her car. She froze. She didn't know what to do. She stopped on the highway. The policeman looked at her car on the outside and saw nothing wrong with her car. They tapped on her window, and after much prodding, she opened the window. She said, sir, if I told you what happened in my car, you would not believe me. And they said, ma'am, would you please try us out? And she told them exactly what happened on that Sunday morning. And the gentleman turned round, the cop turned round, and he says, you're the 8th person on this highway that's telling me the same thing. Are we ready? Have we done on this side of eternity what God has called us to do? How many souls have we discipled? How many people have we reached out to? Or have we just lived for ourselves? It's time for repentance to begin in the house of the Lord. Can we repent of our sins? He's quick to forgive right there in your pews where you are. Make that your altar this morning. Say, Jesus, forgive me. Is there anyone here this morning who wants to surrender, hook, line, and sinker, saying, Jesus, here I am? Just lift your hand and put it down. Let him see that hand, not me. He sees your hand, and he puts his hand on you, and he says, from this day forth, God bless you. From this moment on, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You don't need to look around for someone else. What you confess with your heart, believe with your mouth. Believe that God is able. Just keep your eyes closed. Say, Jesus, it's me you've spoken to this morning. Here I am. God bless you, sis. I see that hand. Here I am. I come to do your will. Set me free from these things So many of us spend time on our iPods, our iPhones, texting, emailing. How many of us open the Bible? How many of us, those to whom much is given? I have little children, second graders, who are desperate for Bibles because they were going to the leper colony. And they said, Auntie, you gave us snacks, you gave us our clothes, you gave us toothbrushes, toothpaste to go back home with. You gave us everything, but you forgot one thing. I said, children, I've not forgotten that one thing. I remember what I've still to give you. But how many of you, do you know the names of the 66 books of the Bible? And 8 of these little ones who didn't have Bibles, they all knew the names of the 66 books of the Bible in 2 days' time. Unless we become like little children. God has a real place called heaven for you. And He's coming soon and very soon. There's a mansion prepared for you. But in order for that mansion to be fully ready for you, have you sent to heaven what belongs for that mansion to be put together? The times of praise and worship, the times of daily devotions, the times of reading this word of God, bringing our tithes and offerings into the storehouse of God, discipling and evangelizing is what helps us to get into heaven. God bless you.
Amen. Would you continue to bow your heads just as we close this morning? Just really feel in my heart one aspect of Teresa's life and something that resonated with me last night and just sharing with her as our family did is a yielded vessel and someone believing as she is that God has a purpose and a plan for her. And I just want to ask this morning if there be anyone here on this Mother's Day morning that you may be here, you may come to church on a regular basis here or elsewhere. You say, I've given my heart to the Lord in times past, but today you genuinely question, you just genuinely doubt God's purpose for your life. And you've sat maybe in the bleachers for so long and you've looked at others and thought, oh, I'd love to be used by God the way that she is or the way that he is. But this morning, I just want to reaffirm to you what Teresa began with today, Psalm 139, that before you were in your mother's womb, God knew you, that He had a plan and a purpose for you. His Word says that He has ordained all the days of your life before one of them came to be. And there's something within each one of us that God wants today, that we have a confidence, that we have a sense of destiny and a purpose. And maybe you're here today and you've always thought of others. Maybe it's even grown almost to a jealousy kind of a feel of what you see around you, but you say, but little me, I don't really feel that God has revealed to me what I'm to do, what my call is. And if that's you today, I just want to pray a simple prayer and ask you to join with me and just yield yourself to Him. Say you serve Him, you want to be His vessel, but today you just yield yourself to say, God, give me that sense of destiny and a purpose. Maybe right here in Springfield, right here in your neighborhood, in your workplace, whatever it is, but that God wants to use you. And He'll use you where Teresa cannot go. He'll use you where people around you today cannot go. But He has you there for purpose, for destiny. If that's you today, would you pray with me right now? Father, I thank You for the word that You have spoken today through Teresa, Lord. We thank You for how You've used her in past. You're using her in present, God. And seated all around us today, Lord, our friends and family and a church family today, God. But there are, I just sense in my heart, many here today that just are going through the motions of trying to serve You, God. And yet, Lord, within their heart, they don't live with that sense of purpose and destiny that You want them to have. And so, Father, we thank You that we are here today. We thank You that we're alive in year 2012, May 13th, 2012, that God, You've given us this time, this hour, this moment. We do believe You're coming soon. And I pray for any that are here that have felt that sense of just lostness, a sense of of not knowing really what it is you have for them to be and to do. Lord, I pray that they will seek you, and I pray, Father, that you will reveal it to them. And may we all today, collectively and individually, yield ourselves to you, God, and say, God, use us. Use me the way that you want me to be used, and only for your glory and for your honor, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in Teresa and David's life and ministry there in India. We praise you for what you've done and what you are doing, and we pray, God, that you will bless her as she continues on in the days and weeks and months to come, Lord. Establish the work that they have there. We thank you, Lord, for those amazing buildings, paid off debt-free, Lord, and we pray you'll bring the students, as we know you are already, that you have them planned and destined to be their God. Bring them together, Lord, and continue the work, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen today.